Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our readings today are taken from John 15 verses 1 to 13 and Romans 12 verses 9 to 21. We continue our sermon series for Lent entitled Everyone Everywhere Growing in Faith. The talk is by James Hadell, a member of St. James, and he reflects on the letter O for others.
The first reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading, another very challenging passage of Scripture, taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray before I get going. Lord Jesus, would you take my words, take my heart, take my lips, and make what I am about to say, make it your word. Would you speak to each of our hearts, even mine, as I'm speaking, Lord? Would you fill this place with your Holy Spirit and draw us closer to you this morning for your glory and the growth of your kingdom. Amen. So we're currently in the midst of a six-week block of Sunday morning messages, as Fabian mentioned already, following six reflections that have been put together by the diocese, all about growing in faith. Each theme is creatively titled, so the first letters together spell out the word growth. And as a trained primary school teacher, I'm a big fan of acrostics, so this goes down well. 2 weeks ago, and then last week, Nick looked at the rhythms that can help us to grow in faith and how those rhythms might be different at different seasons in our faith journeys and will be different for different people. Today, I'm looking at the role that others play in helping us to grow in faith and find someone who's played a key role in our own journey of faith. Perhaps it's someone from our childhood, a youth leader or a parent. Perhaps it's a friend we've known in adulthood, without whom we just wouldn't be in the place we are today. Perhaps the idea of another person strengthening your faith makes you think of someone you've never even known personally, but whose writing or speaking has inspired you. Most likely, you think of numerous people from each of these different categories. We're going to watch a video responses. Think about how you'd answer some of these questions as well.
Created to be in isolation. We grow by listening to others' perspectives and teaching and experiencing each other's gifts. In life's challenges, others can encourage and their love and comfort can strengthen us. On one hand, someone's difference can provide us with fresh views. Though we do need to make sure that any community of faith is compatible for who we are and what we believe to aid our growth.
I think we live in a world where, with the rise of social media, it's very easy for us to embed ourselves in an echo chamber of our own experience and our own opinion, surrounding ourselves with those who agree with us. And so others, in the course of our faith and in growing our faith, help us to break out of those echo chambers and force us to maybe come to terms or to come to grips with an experience or a perspective that is not of our own and really sit down and pay attention, which in turn allows us to explore new areas of faith and hopefully lead to a deepening.
The people who have helped me to grow most in my faith have been my youth leaders at church and on summer camp. They're particularly helpful because they're great role models and I can talk to them about things we're learning in the Bible, and I can also talk to like-minded kids my age, and we're all learning about God together.
A good example of somebody who's been great in my life would be my friend Dave, who actually let me stay with him for a couple of months when I first came back to God, and really inspired me to keep pushing through in my relationship and to get grounded both in God and back into church life.
People chaplains, because every week when we come together, we always talk about God and the Bible, which helps me a lot with my faith.
One of the ways in which my faith has grown over the years is to have a spiritual director. The director is a companion on the journey of life and faith, someone who listens attentively, who is non-judgmental and accepting, who challenges where appropriate, and affirms and encourages. It has been a really life-enhancing experience, an opportunity to explore all aspects of my faith, my struggles, my doubts, as well as my joys and that which gives me life. It has been a really faith-enhancing relationship.
My school chaplain has helped me grow my faith, as every Monday we have a meeting with her and we help explore our faith.
I would say my mum. She was always very encouraging to me in my life about finding faith, about finding Jesus. And I was never interested, but she was always very persevering with me. And she would blast Christian music around the household. It would just drive me nuts. But in hindsight, I'm grateful for it because it introduced me subtly into Christianity. Mothers, don't stop praying, don't stop fighting for your kids. So, yeah.
For my work, I'm a carer for a chap with early onset dementia. And I know that God is in the complexities of that situation and he's with us day by day. So I've been looking for ways to incorporate prayer into our time together. So for example, in the morning, after my friend has had his shower, I rub various lotions into his skin. And as I do, I've begun praying that they will be to him the soothing balm of God's presence and peace and comfort throughout his day. In these simple ways, I guess I'm trying to pray without ceasing. I'm not sitting in the still or the quiet, but incorporating prayer into the everyday rhythms and patterns of what we do to remind ourselves that God is with us in all our circumstances throughout our day together.
I think one of the best ways of helping others is to get invested in them, to find out where their interests are, where their passions lie, what their gifts are and what they're good at. Because once you know that, you can then start to prayerfully guide and suggest ways that God might want to use them specifically to build up the body of the church. Getting to know someone, getting invested in them is a really time-consuming way of helping them, but it's one of the most valuable ways, I believe, of helping them grow in their faith.
We may not always know what we exactly did to help others. A young person the other day left an unwrapped pair of earrings hanging on my door knocker to say thank you for how I'd helped her over the years. I hadn't a clue how significant this was for her faith. I'm never pushy, but gentle, and I try to enable steps of faith and not expecting giant leaps, although I don't limit God.
I think the time that I found it hardest to grow my faith was when a few years ago I was basically only working nights. It basically meant that I had no time for meeting up with other people because I was either working at crazy hours or I was sleeping at crazy hours. I think that God created us to live in community with one another. And so of course it would be the times that I've been isolated from other people that I would find hardest.
Interestingly, difficult times have increased my fervour for hearing and sensing God at a deeper level. The hardest times have often been when life has felt easy, which can bring about a complacency. Not that I want to be in crises in order to grow. I think that the key is to be alert to my engagement with God at all times in this really confusing and materialistic world.
So these are the questions that were put to the interviewees in that video. And I don't know about you, but I find it relatively straightforward to think about who strengthened my faith, and a lot harder to think of how I might have had a positive effect on the faith of others. Perhaps that's the nature of the beast. So often we simply don't know the exact effect that we have on the deepest parts of other people, for good and for bad. But it's this aspect of faith-building relationships that I want to focus mostly on this morning. So what can we do to ensure that we have a positive impact on the faith journey of others? The passage we had this morning from Romans goes a long way to answering this question. The passage in my NIV is entitled Love in Action. And much of it is pretty self-explanatory. Be sincere, be devoted to one another, honour one another, be faithful in prayer, practice hospitality. It's relatively straightforward to apply these principles to our relationships. And by that, I mean it's relatively easy to understand what it is we're meant to do. It's a whole other thing to actually be able to do it consistently. But it's easy to see how they would enable us to build one another up in faith. And the first part of the passage seems to deal very much with mutually beneficial relationships. This is how we treat our friends. But the passage continues to discuss how we should treat and react to those who intentionally or unintentionally wrong us in some way. Bless those who persecute you. Do not take revenge. Overcome evil with good. This isn't talking about a typical rosy, amicable, faith-based relationship where two people are looking to build one another up, or even a relationship where one person is discipling another in order to strengthen their faith. These verses are talking about relationships that can only be labelled very broadly as negative. And actually uses the words enemy through the passage as well. Yet even in these relationships and interactions, which we really want to have as few of as possible in our lives, God's word still shows us how, even in these scenarios, we can choose to act in a way that deepens our faith and draws us closer to God. And there's also another model in this reading for how we can interact with others, another way in which our human relationships can deepen our faith. We are called to mourn with those who mourn and to associate with people of low position. St. Francis of Assisi was born in 1181 to a wealthy merchant family. He lived a life of indulgence and had few cares in his life. He despised lepers, had little care for the poor. All this changed after he returned from war as a broken man. He'd seen visions and began to re-evaluate his life. In the opening to his testament, one of his writings, goes like this. The Lord gave me, Brother Francis, thus to begin doing penance in this way. For when I was in sin, it seemed too bitter for me to see lepers. And the Lord himself led me among them, and I showed mercy to them. And when I left them, what had seemed bitter to me was turned into sweetness of soul and body. And finally, the Lord gave me some brothers. St. Francis went on to do many great deeds and became one of the most popular saints of the church. He founded the Order of Friars Minor, which is alive and well today. St. Francis provides to us an example of how our lives can be changed when we allow God to lead us. Forsaking all bitterness for mercy, we can find sweetness of soul and body, as he puts it. We face many challenges of difference between people and groups we might easily call other. And it's easy to be embittered against the other we find difficult to love. However, just like St. Francis, we're called not to bitterness but to mercy. To be led by God, to embrace others, and through that experience find a deeper faith, a truer faith, a faith that mirrors the love of Christ. As humans, we have inevitably all sorts of relationships. Ones that are mutually supportive, ones where it feels as though we're doing more supporting than being supported, and ones where we do more supporting than being supported, and ones where we receive more than we give. And the vast majority of our relationships, possibly even all of them, could fit into all of these categories in different ways and in different seasons. Yet our passage from Romans has a sense of a closeness to God in any and every relationship if we choose to coat our actions in love. Ultimately, I don't think we really need to go around categorizing our relationships into friends or enemies, or into relationships where we are the person receiving or whether we're the person building another up in faith. Human relationships just aren't that simple. It'd be impossible to pigeonhole them like this, and it would be thoroughly counterproductive. And our reading highlights the way in which we can draw close to God and draw others closer to God in any and every relationship we have. Just as a couple of personal examples, I've often said that I believe the highest callings God has placed on my life are to be a husband and a father. But it's not always easy living out the roles that God has called me to. It's really hard being a parent. But I feel the heart of my Heavenly Father pulsing through me every time I choose to love my children. And they have shown me so much more about the nature of God and the heart of Christ than any of the theological study I've undertaken in my life. As you're watching that video as well, I was reminded of an experience I had during a gap year. I went out to Thailand for a few months. Many of you know that my wife and I lived in Thailand for 7 years, and we came back with two adopted children. But the first time I went, it was as part of a team when I was single, just after university, nearly 20 years ago now, which is a little scary. And I went out with I'm not quite sure what my idea was of what I was doing and why I was doing it. I just thought it was pretty cool, and I'd have some good stories to tell. But there were so many people out there that impacted my life. We were working for a charity that works with children with disabilities, children and adults with disabilities, primarily in these huge government institutions that have improved a lot, I know, in the 20 years since I first went there. But at that point, they were just places where they put people that they didn't quite know what to do with in society. You'd have these big, huge rooms where you'd have 30 or so individuals, children. They'd separate them into children's wards and adult wards and similar sorts of disabilities. But they wouldn't have much going on in their lives at all. And we were part of an organization that ran day centers, and we'd take some individuals out to do some things with them during the day, and then take them back to these wards at the end of the day. And I'm very much reminded of a man whose name was Pitea, who had cerebral palsy. And being born with cerebral palsy in a country that Thailand was at the time, he didn't receive any sort of physiotherapy. And much of what was preventable resulted in the end that he had no use of his arms or legs at all. He was very rigid. But he would paint by lying on his front on the floor, holding a paintbrush in his mouth, and he'd draw these really simple, colourful pictures of flowers and whatever took his fancy. And he had a really deep but very simple faith as well. And I remember just one day when he was talking about a dream he'd had the night before, and it was just the simplest thing in the world. A massive highlight of the lives of these people was just any chance anyone had to take them out of the orphanage and just take them for a trip, even just into town for some ice cream or something like that. And he said in his dream he went for a trip with God, and it was as simple as that. But it really, that's as simple and as profound as his faith was, and it was really challenging to see how close he was to God without all the things that I thought you needed to be close to God. But what a beautiful thing God has done in choosing to reveal himself and draw closer to us through the ways in which we relate to all those wondrous people around us, all made in his image. We're like a system of silvery moons orbiting in and out of one another, each mirroring the light of the sun at our center to those that we pass. Before I move on to my concluding point, I just want to add a little side thought that I found when I was researching this from a reflection that I found on the diocese website. We've looked at a wide spectrum of interpersonal relationships and how we can grow in faith through others. But perhaps there's also another other that's not a person at all. Thomas Merton was a 20th century American monk who spent a significant amount of his final years writing, walking in the mountains, and seeking a deeper communion with God through solitude. And his writings on nature Thomas says this. People who watch birds and animals are already wise in their way. I want not only to observe, but to know living things. And this implies a dimension of primordial familiarity, which is simple and primitive and religious and poor. This is the reality I need, the vestige of God in his creatures and the light of God in my soul. In the busy rush of our world, it can be so easy to neglect our need for silence, for contemplation of creation, of which we're just one part. In seeking to grow our faith through the other, we have all around us a festival of others, which are apart from and a part of us. And Thomas invites the seeker not simply to observe, but to know the very heart of God in creation, as well as other people. Excuse me. As the church, one of our marks of mission is to safeguard the integrity of all creation. But how can we safeguard that which we do not fully know and appreciate? The call to environmental awareness isn't simply a moral fad on which the church has jumped. Rather, the call to awareness is the call from God to see clearly that which is all around us, the life of God, the vivid Creator, and the very breath of all life. In all the cases we've considered very briefly this morning, the others are channels through which we can draw closer to the life of God and deepen our faith. There are similar virtues required in all of them: simplicity, humility, wisdom, mercy, love, and more. It's perhaps these seemingly simple virtues that we can learn to connect with others, both human and non-human, to expand our world and deepen our faith. I want to just conclude by looking at the first reading we had that Janet read to us from John about the vine and the branches. It's okay if at first glance this passage makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Talk of cutting off and throwing into the fire, we'll do that. But when you think about it, that's simply what the Bible is all about. Without Jesus, there's death, and with him, there's life. There's no getting away from that. And if anything, the picture in this passage has the encouragement that we as the branches, start from being in Christ, thanks to what he's done for us. We start from a default position of relationship with him, thanks to what he's done for us on the cross. And what I think this passage has to say to us today, as we think about how others strengthen our faith, is the absolute vitality of Jesus. As we relate to all the other branches, we need to remember that our first relationship is to the vine. We may brush against numerous other branches as we sway in the breeze each day, but it's from the vine to which we've been grafted that we receive our life force. It's in relationship with Christ, by being discipled by him, being wronged by others as he was, and finding him amongst the broken and marginalized of our world. It's in friendship with Jesus that our faith is deepened and broadened and strengthened and beautified. And how do we draw near to him? By reading about him, by meditating on the stories about him, by imagining him in our shoes and think about what he would do if he were in our situation, and by remembering that if we remain in him, then he is in our situation and in every relationship with others that we have. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, true vine to which we are receiving everything we need, would you be the center of our relationships with one another? Would you be the center of the way in which we interact with the world around us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that you took on the very likeness of a servant and came to earth. That you would know what it is like to walk as a human being. To live as a refugee, to live under occupation by military power, so many of the hardships of what the human race experiences day in, day out. Lord, you know it firsthand. And Lord God, I just pray that as we draw closer to you, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, equip us to coat all our actions in love, in the love of Christ, to reflect the love that you've shown us to those around us, that we might know you better, and that we may point others towards you, that we may show other people the nature of God. Again, Lord, for your fame and for this growth of your kingdom in this world and all the places we go. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.